Well, it's around Christmas time, you know, and so everybody's thinking about money during Christmas time. And I heard about a pastor, sounds like a pastor, told his congregation that the church needed a little extra money at Christmas. Seemed like I've done that before, and I think I've heard Brother Tyler mention something about money lately, but at any rate, he said the person that puts in the most money in the offering plate would get to choose three hymns. And so, sure enough, they took up the offering, and he looked down. They were the kind that brought up the offering plates. And he saw a $1,000 bill in there, and he walked in there and got it. He said, I'd like to thank the person who gave this $1,000 bill. And there was a little elderly, saintly-looking, very shy-like lady raised her hand that she had given that $1,000 bill. And he said, ma'am, you come up front here, if you will. And he just bragged on her and all that. And he said, now, you get to pick out your three hymns. So she looked over the congregation and found the three most handsome men out there. She said, I want him and him and him. So if you give $1,000, Brother Gillett may come up with letting you pick three hymns, okay? I think if the prayer list gets much longer, I won't have any time to teach, you know. It's already 22 after, but anyway, maybe I should cut this out too, but this part of it. But I'm not saying we should cut out the prayer list. Don't misunderstand. But this guy was going to have surgery, and his son was the surgeon. And so they got him all prepped, and the anesthesiologist came in, and he said, I'd like to talk to my son just a moment before he does surgery on me. And so his son came in and said, Dad, what is it? What do you want to talk about? He said, son, don't be nervous. Do your best. And just remember one thing. If it doesn't go well, if something happens to me, your mother is going to come in and live with you and your wife. So some of you will have to think about that a little while. And then this one lady, we always talk about prescriptions and money and all that. This class is that way, you know. And all of us have probably four or five in the cupboard with maybe a few exceptions. But this woman went to the doctor and she said, Doc, is it true that the medication you prescribed has to be taken for the rest of my life? And he reservedly said, yes, I'm afraid that's true. You're going to have to do that. She said, well, and she was silent for a little bit. And she said, I'm wondering then just how serious is my condition? Because my prescription says no refills. So anyway, these are all relevant to our class, aren't they? And somebody asked me, so what are you doing nowadays? I said, well, some of the time I'm spending visiting members of this class because we're the sickest class here, you know, because of being senior citizens. But anyway, let's go to 1 John, if you will. And go to 1 John chapter 2. Go to Revelation and back up. 1 John, not the gospel account of John, but 1 John, the little epistle of John. We are still teaching on we have passed from death unto life. Death to life. We have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And along with that new life, our lesson today is that we have an unction from the Holy One. We have an unction from the Holy One. If you understand the background of what's going on here, this was a time of persecution. Jerusalem had been ransacked in 70 AD by Titus, and all kinds of problems were going on. The Christians had been scattered. The Jews all around the world had been taken away from that area. And so he's writing to believers, I think, to encourage them. And in verse 18 of chapter 2, he says, little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that Antichrist shall come. And he's talking about the spirit of Antichrist, the persecution, the problems they were already experiencing during that time. But then he told them that they had an unction from God. in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 2, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." We have an unction, an anointing from God, and primarily we're talking about, of course, the Holy Spirit. Vance Havner made this statement. He said, "We cannot function without this unction." And that is true. We can't function without the unction. Oh, we can maybe function, but we can't function effectively without the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. And so it's so vital that we understand that and that we do not neglect the teaching about the Holy Spirit being anointed with the Holy Spirit. And so in 1 John 2, he's talking about this throughout all of these verses. We'll look at some of them as we go along. But we know that we have an unction from the Holy One. And Christ spoke of the Holy Spirit anointing us. I'm going to turn to Luke, just a second, chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and drop down to verse 14 if you're turning there with me. And here's what Jesus said to his disciples in these verses here in Luke chapter 4, 14. Jesus returned into the power, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah we would say. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." It's a prophecy about Jesus. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And what he was telling them is that I'm here and I'm fulfilling this prophecy, and I am working in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not give up his deity. He just sort of pushed it aside, and the emphasis was on his humanity as he lived that life here. And he's saying that he had the Holy Spirit also to help him. And so the Lord Jesus spoke of that. And in verse 18, back in Luke 14, "He hath anointed me," is what Jesus said. And so we go back to the fact that we have this anointing of the Holy Spirit in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 2. "Ye have an unction from the Holy One," just like Jesus had that unction. And so when we want to know the Bible, the best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible itself. And so what we need to do is get in the Word of God and know that the best teacher is the Holy Spirit. And so we study the Word of God. God speaks about this anointing where He helps us. And God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit, will teach His Word. The problem we have is we don't get alone long enough with the Word to let the Holy Spirit teach us. And that's a challenge that all of us need. We need to be able to do that. In chapters 14 through 16 of John, if you would read it and meditate on those chapters in John, not 1 John, but John, you would see how important that was. And so when we're looking at that, in John chapter 14, the Lord taught his disciples about the work of the Holy Spirit. So one of the great truths that he taught about the person, and remember, he is the person, the Holy Spirit, is that he will teach us all things. John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And then again, back in John, 1 John 2, 20, tying it to that, you have an unction from on high. Jonathan Edwards, who was one of the great preachers of our continent, Jonathan Edwards had a very small library. You would think that he had a great big library, They had a very small library. And he decided to take the Bible, one of his Bibles, and take it apart page by page. And then he put it back together with a blank page between each one of those pages. And he would prayerfully get alone with God and study and study and study that passage in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to teach him. And then he would write his notes in that blank sheet. And that's one reason I believe he was such a great preacher and had the power of God on his life. And God truly revealed himself to him. And he'll do that for you, and he'll do that for me too. So we recognize this unction. We recognize this unction. Remember that we have an unction from the Holy One, from the Holy Spirit of God. And he is the one who enables us, and he is the one who equips us to do what he tells us to do and to serve him. And also in that, to recognize anything that might be error, something that would be false teaching or something that would be evil, the Holy Spirit of God teaches us what's right and what's wrong. And if we get in his word and study it, we'll know that. And so what's right, what's true, what is not true. And in order to have that, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is essential. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is vital. Someone has said it this way in that material, that the devil's most dangerous work is making things look like they are true when they are not true. And he is an artist at it. He can really make things that are not true look true, and he does that. And so we recognize the truth by the Holy Spirit. And as we are studying the Word of God and as we deal with these things, we ask the Holy Spirit, teach me, Holy Spirit, help me not to make the mistake of hearing something that is false. And so there are a lot of false teachings out there, and we have to realize that we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. And so we recognize by this unction what is right and what is wrong in the false teachings. There are those who teach that there's another way to God, for instance. And they say, well, you've got to have Jesus plus baptism, or you've got to have Jesus plus your good works, or you've got to go through the sacraments of the church in order to get to heaven. They didn't get that out of the Bible. And the Holy Spirit does not teach that. The Holy Spirit agrees 100% with exactly what the Bible says. And the Bible does not teach those things. And error comes from not listening and praying and listening to the Holy Spirit. And many times because someone wants something that is different, that is novel, and that draws attention to themselves, and so they come up with false teaching that did not come from the Holy Spirit. So we recognize by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And then we remain by this unction. We remain by this unction. Look there at 1 John 2, verses 24 and 25. 1 John 2, 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And he's talking here about starting out and then continuing. Starting out, continuing. We started out by believing what the Holy Spirit showed us, that the only way for us to get to heaven was through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we remain in the Lord and we have the Holy Spirit, and it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit as God reveals the truth of his word through his Holy Spirit to us. And so when he reveals it, then we have the responsibility to choose truth and choose to walk in that truth. Sometimes we don't do that. And that's where we get into problems, when we don't do it. So the Lord wants us to have the wisdom and understanding to do what? To remain steadfast. Start out right, continue, remain steadfast. And we live in a very troubled world, and it's a bit of a challenge these days for us to remain steadfast, all who are believers. But we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our own power. You'll never do it in your own willpower, just sheer willpower. We have to lean on. We have to depend on. We have to call on and invite the Holy Spirit to please guide us. And apart from the Holy Spirit, we will never have the victory as believers that we should have at any age. And so God says that we are to abide in Him, listen to Him, and then we know that He has conquered all things under His feet, and we're more than conquerors through Christ, and He is in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So we have every reason to enjoy this eternal life that we already have and to live in the power of that and to have victory because of the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And then also we remember this unction. We recognize it, we remain in the unction, and then we remember by this unction. 1 John 2, verses 26 through 29, the rest of that chapter. Look at verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. There are seducers out there. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, saved people, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Abide in Him through the power of the Holy Spirit, so when He comes, we won't be ashamed. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. We're born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. We abide in the Spirit, and we are able to not be ashamed at the coming. Now, he mentions that there are seducers in this world. And I'm afraid that a lot of people are being led astray. And a lot of Baptists, independent Baptists, are being led astray. They're not in the Word. They're not depending on the Holy Spirit of God like they should. And so there's a spirit of seduction that is out there. We know it's there. And we have to remember that there are those who have set out to lead people astray. For instance, the cults. They are always, you know, they are not evangelical. They don't win people to Christ. They're proselytes. They let you win them, and then they come by and try to proselyte them. I remember leading a family, a husband, wife, and about two of their children to the Lord back in, I think it was in Indiana. And so I was doing my follow-up work on them, and I had to be away a few days and then got back. But by the time I got back, Jehovah's Witnesses had come by their house, and they had got them so confused and so messed up, and they told them how wrong I was and how wrong our doctrine was, and I never could get them back. I never could get them to come and disciple them. That's what I wanted to do. But I lost out on it. Why? Because there are seducers out there. They ride bicycles. They wear black and white. They'll come and try to ask you a few questions that, and unfortunately, it's a sad thing, but so many Christians don't even know how to handle it. They don't even know what to say. They don't even know the Scriptures well enough. And they feel nervous. And then the next thing you know, they have absolutely done a job on their brain, their mind, and they've made them begin to doubt some doctrine. But we know there are seducers out there. So remember that we're just pilgrims passing through the earth. And we need to learn from the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Even as I teach, the Holy Spirit has to confirm that in your heart and your mind. And I'm glad that He's in me, He's in you, and He does that. And we need that. And parents should know the Scriptures and should teach the Scriptures to their children and grandchildren every chance you get so that the Holy Spirit can drive those truths into them. We remember the unction that God gives us. And we don't have to think of ourselves as orphaned. We're not orphaned. He doesn't leave us alone. He gives us the Holy Spirit to interpret the Word of God and to teach us and to show us His way. And then, not only are there seducers in the world, but Christ our Savior, we are reminded, is coming again. You see, everybody has a world view. Our worldview, if we're really saved and understand the Scriptures, is not the same as those of unbelievers. We know that someday Christ is going to come again. We don't know when, we just know it's going to happen. And we'd all love for it to happen today, right? We could get rid of all those prescriptions. But at any rate, we know that it's going to happen. And we understand that Christ is coming again. And when we know that, it should have an impact on us. The effect that it has on us in our lives should be that we do not live our lives like unbelievers, but we live our lives like believers, following the teaching of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In verse 29 says, if you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. There's something wrong with this weak, puny, mamby-pamby type Christianity where people don't change after they get saved. Something wrong with that. This easy believism stuff. If somebody really gets born again, they're going to change and they're going to follow the scripture. And by God's grace, they're going to try. Though we're not perfect, we're going to try to please the Lord. And that's what he's talking about. So the unsaved, whenever they think about those things in the world, they don't think like we do because they don't have that unction. And so how can I be interested in Christian things might be the question they have. How could I ever think like you? How could I ever do what you do? They don't like us. They don't think like us. They want to party and live hardy. They want to go out. Their main thrust is materialism and fame and fortune and satisfying the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These are their motivators. They should not be our motivators. But the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, thank God he changes our desires. When we really get saved, So what happened to you? Well, my want-to changed, amen? When Jesus came in, my want-to changed. My desires changed. And that's what God expects out of us, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us to desire to do the will of God. Now, God gives us an unction, an anointing, a guidance, an understanding, a leadership from a person. And that person is the Holy Spirit, the Holy One. And our desires changes when he moves in. And not only then, but we want to continue to please him. If you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, you want to please God. And then when we know that we are not in the will of God, we know we're not doing what's right. Isn't it wonderful to have the Holy Spirit to arrest us right quick? Do you ever hear his voice? I don't mean out loud, but in your spirit, something happens. It shouldn't have happened. You know it happened. And immediately you hear the voice, not of your wife or your husband or somebody else, but deep down in your spirit, you hear the Holy Spirit saying, now, you know you shouldn't be doing that. You know what you did was wrong. You lost your temper and you shouldn't have done it. And you got a little prideful there. And I had to speak to you and say, you shouldn't be prideful. That's a sin. Pride is a sin. Or you got down and depressed and got the mully grubs and got wanting everybody to cater to you and say, I'm the only one left, not another prophet in the world. But we need to lean on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, now, there are a lot of Christians. They're around. There are other prophets that are around. You're not the only prophet. You're not the only Christian. So you need to straighten that out. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit arrests my attention. And it doesn't take him long, does it? If you know the Word, especially if you're familiar with the Word, thank God for the unction of the Holy Spirit who lives in our lives and guides us. And it's because of that we have gone from death unto life and the life that we have through the Holy Spirit. So let's depend on him. Ask him to show you as you study the Word of God. But first, start studying the Word of God even more. Even more. Turn the television off. Even now, I've decided that I'm going to watch less and less and less of any television. And if I've got some time, I'm going to spend some time in the Word of God and some time in prayer. And there are times that you want to watch some of it. And I think God understands that our minds need a little break once in a while. But I'll tell you, we need to stay in the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, and then to give us the power, the victorious spirit, to live a life that has victory over sin in our lives. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would move in the service coming up and in tonight's service. And we pray, dear God, as we depend on you, that you'd do your work. We thank you that we have you, and may you speak to hearts as the Word of God goes forth today, both to the lost and to the saved, and help us to take these truths to heart, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.